those who enter the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they are showing disregard for those who are following the law.
Hello and welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. It is the 1st of April, 2020. No, we're not playing April Fool's Day jokes here. I've already seen a couple of rather witty ones on social media today, but that's enough. It is the midweek edition of the podcast. There's a lot going on in the world around us, and there's really no telling how much of it you can believe and what you can't believe. But we can be sure of a couple of things. One, if it's coming out of mainland China, specifically communist China, you cannot necessarily believe it. And two, if it's coming from the mainstream progressive press, odds are you should take it with a grain of salt. Because quite honestly, we just have no idea whether it's true or not. So just take that into consideration. So how are you doing today? You doing okay? I hope you've had a good week so far. It's not like we can celebrate the weekend being just around the corner, standing on your tiptoes. You can see it in the distance because for a lot of us, every day is a Saturday right now. And that's kind of a sad thing as far as the economy goes. But I'm optimistic. I am guardedly confident that things will be coming back, and coming back rather quickly. We're watching the private sector and how it works. We're seeing how it's operating and stepping up and doing what it does best, which is filling needs fast, which is the absolute opposite of what the government can do and the government agencies can do, as we have seen. When coronavirus hit, the CDC moved like a sloth, and it just did what it usually does. It hampered progress. And which is why we had the issue with getting testing done, because the CDC was standing in the way. The CDC was moving slowly. If you haven't seen the movie Zootopia, the Disney movie Zootopia from a couple of years ago, please rent it, grab it, do whatever you have to, and find the scene where they go to the DMV. You'll have a better understanding of how things work at the CDC. We have a way things work. That's the only way we do things. No, I'm sorry. You'll just have to wait while we finish all of this paperwork and talk to a dozen people who have nothing to do with the immediate need in order to make things happen. And thank God President Trump stepped in and said, no, we will approve this. Private business can do this. They can make respirators. They can make masks. They can do all of these things. We can start developing medicines to help with the situation. We can release things. If he hadn't stepped in, we'd still be waiting for the first thing to happen. And if we'd had a Democrat president, they would be celebrating right now in the House, the Senate, and the White House the passage of relief bills which deal with the environment and not people dying. So it's a good thing we have the president we do. He's done the right thing. So, as I said, thank God for President Trump. And I don't mean that flippantly. I mean that seriously. There are, however, those who aren't so happy. And one of those people is Alec Baldwin. Of course we know Alec Baldwin hates President Trump. Absolutely hates President Trump. Alec Baldwin is driven by his psychotic hatred, his intense Trump derangement syndrome, and he has to be public about it. He's so important. What he has to say is so vital to everyone, he has to get on Twitter and talk about things. Well, he's used his foundation's Twitter account, did this yesterday, to attack President Donald Trump, suggesting that he was the real virus. While millions of Americans worry about the impact of the coronavirus pandemic, many of them either sheltering in place in their homes or continuing to work at increased risk to their own health, Baldwin's tweet appeared to claim that the real problem was Trump. Quote, "The virus in the U.S. began in January of 2017. The vaccine arrives in November." The Hilaria and Alec Baldwin Foundation is, according to the brief Twitter bio, an organization dedicated to supporting the arts and artists, amateur and professional. And while most of the foundation's Twitter feed is dedicated to the performing arts, Baldwin has used it several times in recent days to attack the president, calling him a psycho and claiming he would get people killed. Baldwin also took aim at The Apprentice creator Mark Burnett. Oh, backing up just a sec to something that he said. He says, Trump says, lock down New York. He says, many New Yorkers are headed to Florida. Can't have that, he said. Like a guy yelling fire so he gets a seat in a theater. You people who thought he was a leader, not just some cutout from a very bleepy TV show. He's a psycho. He's going to kill a lot of people. And here's what he had to say about Mark Burnett, effectively blaming him for Trump winning the presidency. He said, and let's thank that genius Mark Burnett, for all of this. His money-grabbing Hollywood whore who pushed this idiot down America's throat. Thank you, Mark Burnett, you idiot. And now Alec Baldwin has a verified personal Twitter account that's been used only rarely since November of 2017 when he announced that he would no longer post there due to the current climate. But he is using his foundation's Twitter account. Interesting. As I said, the man sees himself as being so important that he just can't let go. He can't release. He can't step away. He's so important. He has to make his opinion known to the world because his opinion is vital to everyone. Without his opinion, whatever would we do? Let me see here. Yes, I think I actually have some audio of Alec Baldwin. Here, let me make sure I've got everything turned up. Listen to this.
I want to tell you something, okay? And I want to leave a message for you right now. Because, again, it's 10:30 here in New York on a Wednesday. And once again, I made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time. When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go and I make that phone call. At 11 o'clock in the morning in New York, and if you don't pick up the phone, at 10 o'clock at night, and you don't even have that phone turned on, I want you to know something, okay? I'm tired of playing this game with you. I'm leaving this message with you to tell you, you have insulted me for the last time. You have insulted me. You don't have the brains or the decency as a human being. I don't give a that you're 12 years old or 11 years old or that you're a child or that your mother is a thoughtless pain in the ass who doesn't care about what you do as far as I'm concerned. You have humiliated me for the last time with this phone. And when I come out there next week, I'm going to fly out there for the day just to straighten you out on this issue. I'm going to let you know just how disappointed in you I am and how angry I am with you that you've done this to me again. You've made me feel like shit, and you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again. And this crap you pull on me with this phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother, and you do it to me constantly and over again. I am going to get on a plane, and I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. Then I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me. So I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
That was from several years ago. A voicemail message from a dad to his daughter, a 12-year-old girl at the time. That is the individual we're dealing with here. That is Alec Baldwin. The same guy who has repeatedly gotten into fist fights with paparazzi. That's the guy who's lashing out at our president. That's the guy calling Donald Trump the real virus. That's the guy who believes he is so important that he has to use his foundation's Twitter account to vent his spleen about our president. Please, if you take anything at all away from this, take this away from it. People in the entertainment industry, a great many of them are a lot like Alec Baldwin. When they appear on the talk shows, when they make their public appearances to promote their films, when they make their public appearances to promote their charities, they're sweet, they're rational, they're smiling, they're laughing. They're appealing people. They appear to be the kind of people you would love to sit down and have a chat with, share a meal with, just enjoy a few minutes of talking, maybe even become friends. But behind the scenes, a great many of them are mentally unbalanced. A great many of them are challenged. They have issues dealing with the real world around them. Alec Baldwin is a good example. He just happens to have a little bit less self-control than others do. People like Alec Baldwin, Kathy Griffin, Rob Reiner, and others, Bette Midler comes to mind as well, from across the spectrum of the entertainment industry, these people are not trustworthy when it comes to getting real information which is linked to the real world. I've said this before, so let me just say it again because it's been a while. When you see someone in the entertainment industry taking a stand for something, like man-made climate change, the vast majority of the time, they're not doing it because it's something they are personally passionate about. The vast majority of the time, they're doing it because their publicity agents have had a little sit-down with them and told them, you need to embrace this cause. People need to tie you to this because it's a good thing. It's all PR. They're not doing it because they're personally passionate about it, even though they may say those words, I'm personally passionate about this. This is a passion of mine. They're acting. They're disconnected from reality. They don't understand what's really going on. They're just repeating what's been handed to them. What they've been told. You can't trust people in the entertainment industry by and large. A few of them have their heads on straight. A few do. And those you don't see coming out against people, those you don't see supporting things which are truly unsupportable, they're very cautious about what they share with the public because, quite frankly, I think it was Anthony Hopkins who said, you don't want my opinion, I'm just a dumb actor. They realize they don't have anything to truly contribute to society. And it's time that more people learned that. It's time that more people learned that people like Alec Baldwin and the list of others that I've already mentioned Those people are not the people you should be getting your information from. Coming up in a little while, later in the podcast, I'm going to tell you a story about another one. One who has a regular show on television. And how he has flipped out over the way things are going in our country. Because he has one of the most severe cases of TDS you'll find anywhere. That's coming up a little later. As the Daily Perspective podcast continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's really good to have you along. Thanks so much for joining in. So, have you finished Netflix yet? Have you finished Disney Plus? Have you run out of things to watch? I gotta be honest with you, I don't know how you could on Disney Plus. I've been scanning through Disney Plus, and there is so much stuff in that package to watch. There's so much stuff. And I told you the other day, I've gone through Star Wars stuff. I've been catching up on all kinds of things. And what's funny is I'm not spending as much time on streaming services as I am on, well, on YouTube. YouTube I've been spending a lot of time on, because there's a handful of things I'm kind of interested in that I want to pursue, and there's a lot of great information on YouTube from people who have done these things, both amateur and professional. So you can get some pretty good insight into how to do stuff. Plus, there's also some entertaining stuff out there. I recently, thanks to my buddy, my friend Earl, in Orlando. Earl, you know who you are. And he said something on Twitter a couple of weeks ago about how the greatest thing he's been seeing, he was so thankful for on YouTube, was this particular YouTube channel. And it's really strange, and it's also interesting, and it's sometimes kind of scary. And it's the YouTube channel of the Gatorland Park outside of Orlando. Yeah, the place with all the alligators. It's they have a YouTube channel. They've actually gotten the silver YouTube play button. They have over 100,000 subscribers. I don't know what the current number is right now, but they've crossed the 100,000 mark. And what got my attention, I saw Earl's post, I saw his tweet, and I thought, well, that's funny. And I went over and kind of looked at the channel, just at their page, and saw, wow, they've got a lot of videos out there. And they do a thing every day, the live at 5. But now the park is closed. But they still have staff there, essential staff, because they've got animals to take care of. So they're in there every day feeding the animals. And instead of doing live at 5, because they can't be there after closing, because the park is closed and the hours are a set number of hours, they can't be there outside of park hours, because that would be non-essential. Well, they have to do it at a different time. So now they're doing live at 5 at 3. And that's what they're calling it. Savannah, who's hosting it, she's a tall blonde girl with a great big hat and this weird green eyeshadow. No offense, Savannah, but hey, she's got her phone. She does a live stream every day, usually at 5, but right now it's live at 5 at 3. So 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time, 2 o'clock Central. You do the math from there. It's live. And like yesterday, they were with a white alligator. This huge alligator. It was probably 12, 14 feet long. I would say it probably weighed 800 to 1,000 pounds. It's a gigantic alligator. It's white. It's not an albino. There was another term which now is slipping my mind, because it has blue eyes. It's white and it has blue eyes, and it is huge. And they're out there in the water with this big alligator, feeding it, coaxing it around, getting it to do things in the water, with another alligator hanging around nearby. And this is typical for them, what they do every day. Probably the scariest thing I've seen them do so far was feeding Cuban crocodiles. The Cuban crocodiles are just psycho. They're crazy. Just crazy. And it was, they were constantly shifting and moving and keeping an eye out and growing eyes in the back of their heads and warning each other, hey, so-and-so is coming after you. And it was crazy. But I've gotten to where I watch that every day now. I may not catch it live, but it's always there. So please, can I make a recommendation if you're looking for something that's fresh every day and it's really out there and you're never going to see anything like it anywhere else and it's family friendly? Go to YouTube and look for Gatorland's vlogs. Gatorland, look them up. They do different stuff every day. They actually have a morning thing that they do that's educational for kids. They have all kinds of stuff going on, and I just didn't know it was there until the last couple of weeks. And now I've got to watch it every day because it's just crazy. And it's funny, I'll usually watch it after Jane gets back in from her job, and she'll be in the kitchen puttering around, and I'll say, hey, baby, come here, look at this. And I'll roll it back and get her to watch what I just saw. And that's if she can't sit down with me and watch through the whole thing, because we've both gotten into it. It's just crazy. So please look up Gatorland's vlogs. Please do. They're just entertaining, and they're a lot of fun. Oh, it's time. Please don't stand so close to me. I mean, it's time to start diving into COVID-19, the coronavirus, the Wuhan flu, and talk about the latest. And from henceforth, that's what this is pretty much going to be about, campers. The White House Coronavirus Task Force yesterday pleaded with Americans to abide by the administration's extended social distancing guidelines to slow the spread of coronavirus as a somber President Trump told Americans to brace for a very painful 2 weeks and warned of thousands of more virus-related deaths. He said, the surge is coming, and it's coming pretty strong. He said this from the White House briefing room in a lengthy press conference that lasted more than 2 hours. The extension of the social distancing guidelines comes after Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and other public health officials on the White House Coronavirus Task Force ominously warned that even if the U.S. were to continue doing what it is doing, keeping the economy closed and most Americans in their homes, the coronavirus could still leave 100 to 240,000 people in the United States dead and millions infected. Without any measures in place to mitigate the contagion spread, those projections jump to between 1.5 and 2.2 million deaths from COVID-19. Trump said during the briefing, "It is absolutely critical for the American people to follow the guidelines. It's a matter of life and death." The new 30 days to slow the spread guidelines unveiled at the press conference are an extension of the strategy the White House implemented just over 2 weeks ago and include guidance on social distancing, working from home, washing hands frequently, and avoiding any unnecessary travel. While Trump sought to reassure Americans that the country would ultimately get through the pandemic, he declined to sugarcoat the severity of the pandemic and said that the battle against the contagion will be worse in the coming weeks. He said, this is going to be a rough two-week period. As a nation, we're going to have a really rough 2 weeks. Our strength will be tested, and our endurance will be tried. At another point, he said, this could be a hell of a bad 2 weeks. This is going to be a very bad 2 or maybe even 3 weeks. This is going to be 3 weeks like we've never seen before. The change in tone marks an abrupt shift by Trump, who spent much of last week targeting April 12th as the day he wanted to see the country open and raring to go by Easter Sunday. Can I just break and make an aside here and remind you that that was optimistic? It was aspirational. It was hopeful. We hope to do this. It would be great if we could do this. He was trying to lift spirits and give people something to hope for. That was the intent. The mainstream progressive press, on the other hand, is taking that out of context and making it look like something it was not. Moving forward, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx, the White House coronavirus response coordinator, said that the modeling of 100,000 to 240 deaths is still very possible, but Fauci said the federal government is working very hard to bring that number down. Birx added that the number of deaths could be blunted through proper medical care and social distancing. The model's predictions have the surge in deaths going into the summer. Birx said, there's no magic bullet, there's no magic vaccine or therapy. It's just behaviors. The course of the vital, adding that it would be those behaviors that could change the course of the vital pandemic. Fauci said, as sobering a number as that it is, we should be prepared for that. No one is denying that we are going through a very difficult time right now. Many states and local governments already have stiffer controls in place on mobility and gatherings. One that has not is Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis has held back on implementing lockdown orders in all but the hardest hit counties. DeSantis has ordered some statewide measures, such as closing bars, gyms, state parks, and limiting restaurants. He's also making anyone arriving from New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut within the past 3 weeks self-quarantine. Trump and Vice President Mike Pence are deferring to state and local health officials when it comes to instituting mandatory stay-at-home orders. He also added that DeSantis, a major Trump ally, is doing a great job. And this is as it should be. Your state should be determining how things happen, not the federal government. As I've told you repeatedly, the federal government is designed to work slowly. Your state government can work much faster. And the private sector can work even faster. And that's where the real heroes are right now, in the private sector, in medicine, and in business. More after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back. This is the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you're having a good day so far, wherever and whenever you may be listening. It's good to have you along. Sorry. Scanning social media. Let me get back to where I was. Let's see here. There are a lot of people in politics, especially, and some people in the entertainment industry. We've talked about this already. Who just can't seem to get a grip on the reality of what's going on. They are so steeped in hatred for Donald Trump that they refuse to see the truth. And they are desperate to make him out to be a villain. We expect this from people like Nancy Pelosi, but it's coming frequently from all sides, and it's becoming more and more obvious that the motivation is not necessarily for the well-being of the nation. The motivation is for more power and control by certain people over the nation. And that's a sad thing. These people, the progressives, whether they be in entertainment, the news industry, or in politics, are more concerned with their fixation on their own superiority than anything about anything else. They don't care about you, the average person. They care about making sure that they are in control of things in order to be able to take care of you, the average person, because you're not as smart as they are and you're not as saintly as they are. As I've said to you many, many times, progressives deeply and sincerely believe that they are intellectually and morally superior. And they are needed at all levels of society, at the top, to guide things. That's their belief. This holds true for every society which has practiced socialism or communism. Everyone. That same trait has held true for the people who believe wholeheartedly that they need to be running things. We see this kind of mentality in politics and in the entertainment industry, and we see it in news. And here is an example. Over on HBO, there's a show called Last Week Tonight. It's hosted by John Oliver. It's on Sundays. If you have HBO and you've watched it, you know what I'm talking about. My liberal friends on social media post quotes from John Oliver on a regular basis, and they think the man's a genius. Let's take a look. Sunday, he used his show to go on a profanity-laced rant about the coronavirus, the president, and what he called market worship. Market worship attempts to save the economy that risk becoming an effing death cult, his words. What was most galling, however, was his efforts to pretend that there's nothing political going on in how some on the left are covering the virus crisis. After playing a clip of Donald Trump saying that some want to use the COVID-19 to defeat him in November, Oliver screamed, "Oh, for F's sake, no one is thinking about you. These guidelines do not revolve around you." He then disingenuously added, "And look, I know this isn't exactly the first time I've criticized Trump, but I can't tell you how much I was rooting for him to do this better." Sorry, Mr. Oliver, but we know your track record, and we know that is a lie. The idea that Oliver is anything other than a far-left political demagogue is laughable. This is the man who said he would shoot Christian Tim Tebow. The host who called conservatives leaders evil, blamed Trump's win on racism, and asked people to send penis pictures to then-Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Yet, for some reason, Oliver tried to portray himself as an equal opportunity offender, hitting Republican and Democrat alike. Quote, "Take Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. I disagree with basically everything, but he's doing a pretty good job handling the virus so far. Also, if I'm honest, I never really liked Andrew Cuomo before this, but I'll admit he's doing admirably well. And I can't wait to get to the other side of this when I can go back to being irritated by him again." Keep waiting for that full Last Week Tonight episode he'll devote to mocking Democrats. It's never going to happen. He ended by ranting about the problems of decentralized government and derided focusing too much on saving the economy as a effing death cult. Quote, "Our decentralized government, which can be good when local leaders are empowered to protect their communities, has also led to states fighting each other for resources and a patchwork of quarantine strategy that will almost certainly draw out the agony of this crisis. Meanwhile, we're being forced to confront some of the strangest, darkest implications of our national mindset in which market worship threatens to become a bleeping death cult." You know, the market is actually coming to the rescue right now, Mr. Oliver. It's the marketplace that's actually doing what's necessary. It's the marketplace that's stepping up and making a difference. It's the marketplace that's moving quickly to respond, because the centralized government you want to control everything is incapable of doing that. It is a huge beast that moves slowly, and the marketplace is agile. It's in shape. It's ready for the task. And when it's given the go-ahead, it leaps into action, as it has, with private companies retooling their assembly lines to make respirators, ventilators, things needed in hospitals around the country that the federal government has been very slow to distribute because it's a big lumbering beast. Private companies retooling their assembly lines and their factories, like the MyPillow company, dedicating now 75% of its production to making N95 masks to protect people working on the front lines with COVID-19 patients. And those are just a couple of examples. We're seeing it happen across the spectrum of business, private business in America. There are business people who are having clever ideas because that's what business people do. Entrepreneurs are creative people, and they come up with creative solutions to issues. I recorded a podcast for Dawson Now the other day with a man named Robert Contaldo from Chicago, Illinois. He's a mergers and acquisitions guy, an investment guy. It's all about money and businesses with him, but he's also a chef, a very talented one, and he knows the food business. And he was looking at the situation in Chicago and realized that there are going to be a lot of people, particularly elderly people, who will be shut up in their homes, who can't go to the grocery store and stay safe, who can't go out and eat because the restaurants are closed, who are going to need food. What did Bob do? He tapped his contacts. He had an idea, and he pulled together other people he knew and created an operation which involved these restaurants who are all suffering right now, and the Boys and Girls Clubs and volunteers. And for about, I think it was $6 a meal, the end cost to the person on the end who receiving them. You can have a meal, a full nutritious meal. And I don't mean MREs, military food, freeze-dried stuff. I mean real cooked food from a kitchen coming to your home and put on your doorstep. $6 a meal. The cost for each meal, about $3 in the food costs, and the rest goes to pay the overhead. You've got to buy gasoline. You've got to take care of odds and ends. And there's not really any profit at all being made. And that creative solution is helping people. They started off with 100 the first week, and next thing you know, it's 500. Next thing you know, it's more, and then more, and then more. And that could be done in your city. You could be doing that. You could head something up like that. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, you know people. You have contacts in the business community. You could pull things together and make a difference in your community and help people who can't help themselves because of what we're under right now. That kind of response comes from where? Big government? Oh, no. That comes from the small, agile, private community. That's where that comes from. The private sector is rescuing America. The private sector is stepping up in this crisis and filling the gap. The private sector is coming to the rescue. It's not the government. Our president is doing what he can to get the government out of the way so that the private sector can do what it does best and do it quickly. And people like John Oliver, they're so deceived by their own hatred, their Trump derangement syndrome, that they can't understand the truth of the situation. Big government can only wield big things. Big government does one size fits all solutions, and they never fit everyone. Never. And their solutions are always slow. It's the private sector that's coming to the rescue. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast for this Wednesday, the first day of April, 2020. I was talking about John Oliver and his whinging on about how a centralized government needs to be taking care of the situation because the states and the marketplace are going to kill us all. Well, that's not a unique perspective. In fact, the former United Kingdom Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, has pleaded with world leaders to form a temporary global government to fight COVID-19, the pandemic. This is according to The Guardian. Now, this guy, Gordon Brown, is left of center politically. That's putting it lightly. He was the head of the UK's Labour Party, a central figure behind international efforts to combat the Great Recession a decade ago, adding that he believes a coalition of leaders, including those from the health field and international organizations, should have executive powers to coordinate the response. Quote, "This is not something that can be dealt with in one country. There has to be a coordinated global response." He also said his proposed global task force would fight the crisis in two ways, by finding a vaccine and by organizing production, purchasing, and preventing profiteering. More from The Guardian. Many countries have announced economic packages in the past 2 weeks, but Brown said a task force could make sure the efforts of central banks were coordinated, take steps to prevent the record flight of capital from emerging market economies, and agree a joint approach to the use of government spending to boost growth. He said there had been resistance in 2008 to using the G20 as a vehicle for tackling the financial crisis, but that it would be clear to world leaders that there was no possibility of a go-it-alone approach working. He added, "We need some sort of working executive. If I were doing it again, I'd make the G20 a broader organization because in the current circumstances, you need to listen to the countries that are the most affected, countries that are making a difference, and countries where there is the potential for a massive number of people to be affected, such as those in Africa." Can I just say, there's more to this, so get the show notes for today to get the rest of the article. There's a couple of tweets and some more things about this, but this is a leftist, a progressive, who is trying to sell the world on a global government. Something you need to remember is that when leftists get government and government controls, they don't release. They never let go. And you can see this by the examples of just leftists here in the United States. When they pass a law, you've got that law for the rest of your life until conservative people, or unless conservative people, are elected to government and start repealing things. And that process is long and painful. It takes a lot, especially if they've succeeded in a constitutional amendment. That takes a monumental amount of work to overturn. When leftists get control, they don't relinquish control unless they are forced out. And undoing the damage they've done takes a lot of work and time. If you do this on the global scale, you put one central authority in place, then you've got yourself some trouble. You've got yourself quite a bit of trouble. I didn't mean to start that. Let's wrap up on a fun note, shall we? Have a listen.
No escape from the family. Don't touch your eyes. Just hand sanitize quickly. I wash my hands, laying low. I look out the window. The curve doesn't look flatter to me.
Mama, I just killed a man. I didn't stay.
walked past him, now he's dead. Mama, life was so much fun, but now I've got this unforgiving flame. Mama, ooh, I didn't mean to make them die. If I'm not back to work this time tomorrow, carry on, as if people didn't matter.
Awesome. I hope you enjoyed that. That's making the rounds on social media right now, and I had to share it with you. If you'd like to listen to it again, rewind. And you can also get today's show notes. And the link to the parody song is right there in today's show notes. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and get the show notes for today right there. I hope you have a good Wednesday. Be careful, be cautious, be wise, wash your hands. And we'll see you back here tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. God bless you. Have a good one. See you later.
Oh, we're done.